Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weather Guys. Week 11 here. We are the Fantasy Football Weather Guys. My name is Colin Golzinski. I'm your host. I'm joined with our on-staff meteorologist, Dr. Michael Ventris. Welcome back. And Sean Bratton. We are quantifying the weather risks in sports, and we're here to talk about Week 11. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
It's
good to be back.
Yeah, Mike, how are you doing on your end right now? Any updates for us?
Well, for those who aren't aware, my wife and I are the proud parents of our new baby girl.
I almost thought you were about to say owner.
The proud owners of this brand new baby. No, I've been on paternity leave for a couple weeks now from both the FFWG, but also another job. It's been a life experience.
I'm glad we wrote in all those benefits in your contract in our working contract. You get paternity leave and everything.
Yeah, hey, Mike's been taking it easy.
It's 2020.
Yeah.
Well, you got it. You know, it's a nice thing. Hopefully, this is a big topic in the U.S. by the way, is parental leave and a lack thereof in the U.S. But I won't get into that.
That's why we're not here. But we are here to talk about three potential weather games. We're going to talk about Houston at Tennessee, Detroit at Cleveland, and then kind of touch on Indianapolis at Buffalo. But that one's probably very minimal impact at all. So, Mike and Sean, why don't you bring up our weather table or our impact table? You can see the games. And walk us through the forecast and what we're seeing. So everyone, before you guys get there, you can find our weather impact table on our website at ffweatherguys.com. Sorry, I just got a call that distracted me. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so we're on the website. This is the weather impact table. This updates every day. So if you guys are interested in the weather and how weather might be, impacting any of these football games, we have this table here that you can kind of go through. Whenever you see a green bar, it's essentially no impacts expected or no weather being in the forecast. And then you can see that there's some oranges and reds here, which highlight some potential risk. And you can think of this as like a traffic light. Green, you're good to go. Orange, you've got to slow down a little bit, caution, things are about to change, or there's a chance that things are going to change here. And then red, stop and pay attention because something's happening. Here we have two games in the orange category. Those are our caution games. We have the Indianapolis at Buffalo Sunday 1 p.m. kickoff game. We have another caution game, Detroit at Cleveland, another 1 p.m. game. And then finally, the red game. This is the possible impact game here. And this is the Houston at Tennessee Titans at 1 p.m. And if you click on the individual games here, we actually break this out very nicely to show you a couple weather parameters that are impactful for football or for player production: temperature, wind, and precipitation. And we actually color coordinate where the risk is coming from by whatever we have outlined here. And in this particular matchup, the Houston at Tennessee game, you can see that the red box is around precipitation. So there's going to be a period of moderate to heavy rainfall in this game, and the National Weather Service is predicting about 2.22 inches of rain there, so just over 0.2 inches of rain, which is meaningful. It's a good amount of rain in this particular matchup. And then we also have the different
I like that feature. So, I'm so glad you got that. The starting lineups are live, and they change with players who are out or with the depth charts changing. It's a great feature. I love that on our table.
Yeah, me too. It's a really nice thing there. It's a constant API pull there that brings in that starting lineup. So this is the Houston at Texans and Tennessee Titans game. Rainfall 0.22 inches. If we click up to the Detroit at Cleveland game, you can see how the box is orange again around precipitation, about 0.06 of an inch of rain. So it's a lot less than what's predicted at Houston at Tennessee. And then the Indianapolis Colts at Buffalo, again, the box is around the precipitation category, just at 0.04 of an inch. So I'm going to pass it over to Sean here, and he's going to break down this synoptically and talk about what's happening.
Real quick, it was funny. I wanted to interrupt and say, you said it's like a traffic light, and I have to remember that I go through yellowishes, so I got to remember that, yellow is a caution. I'm just kidding.
Well, you have to understand that's a good analogy because you don't have to worry. Depends on the actual manager, right?
It's red. It's okay. Just keep driving.
No. in orange conditions, there's a chance that you can get through the light, right? And there's a chance here in football that the player production might not be impacted at all.
That's a good point, Mike.
If you want to be a risky manager and put the the pedal to the metal and get through that orange light so you get stuck at the red,
I think we need to use this analogy more often. I think it's a great visual. Thank you for that. So going back to the synoptics here, we have some cyclogenesis occurring north of the Great Lakes. And so what we're more concerned about here is the trailing front. And the first game that we should probably talk about is the one that we expect there to be probably the heaviest impacts, and that is the Houston Texans visiting the Tennessee Titans. This game is interesting. We're expecting more impacts on the second half, kind of similar to what we saw in Pittsburgh last week. However, with this one, there is a chance, because we are along the front here, that there could be some convection. So one of the things that we're monitoring here is that convection going to translate to thunder and lightning? Because we know if that occurs, we experienced this in the KC game, a Kansas City game earlier this year, that there is a chance of delay. Right now, we are not anticipating that. What we are anticipating is rain rates to get a little bit heavier here for the second half, and then that's where we're going to get a bulk of that 0.2 inches of rain. And again, that may not sound like a lot, but when you're talking about 2 hours or so, that's quite a bit of rain. That's in that moderate to heavy kind of range. So we are going to be monitoring that one. That is where we're expecting the heaviest rain. And we'll talk about some player impacts, but I'm also going to talk about the Cleveland game. We have the Lions traveling to Cleveland. Now, we are expecting lighter rain. For this is kind of a different part of the storm where the rain is not as intense, but it is going to be more consistent. We're more anticipating intermittent light to moderate rain for the Cleveland game. That we're expecting probably 2 to 3, if not for the entire game in Cleveland. In Buffalo, however, this is a very borderline. This is the same part of the system. However, we are not anticipating that Buffalo will get any rain until probably later in the second half. So we do expect rains actually to pick up a little bit in Buffalo, but it's probably not going to be for a significant portion of the game. So we don't expect a lot of player impacts with that.
And as Sean mentioned here, with the rain risks, there's another component with wind. And in this particular synoptic setup, you look at the wind forecast map here, where you see like the shading, blue, green, yellow, et cetera, that's showing higher amplitude winds. In these slate of games in the afternoon, there's just not a whole lot of wind that's in the forecast. So specifically the risks here for this particular week is more driven by rain and wet conditions.
And if we look at that, Mike, if you go back to the synoptic map for the precipitation, that's a really good point. And I was kind of pointing out kind of some of the different rain rates. And we can see this on the map for those of you viewing on YouTube. Over Nashville, which it has currently an orange marker on it, although we are anticipating that to be more of an extreme event. But you're noticing the colors are becoming more in the purples, the oranges, the reds. Those are indicating heavier rain amounts as opposed to Cleveland. In Cleveland, Ohio here, that's a green, although we are anticipating that to turn to a more caution event. Those are more in the blues, greens, maybe some yellow. So that's kind of some of the lighter precipitation.
Yeah. And just to kind of like focus on this particular event with getting into those for the Tennessee game, right? Getting into the oranges, reds, and pinks, that's only going to be a second half event with this much rain. That's like a heavy downpour to get those amount of rain, like that total rainfall, like 0.2 or higher in a short period of time, an hour or two. Like that's some heavy rain. That's enough to kind of, be very visible on TV. You're going to hear the announcers talk about it when it moves in. This is all in the sense if the game doesn't get delayed from lightning, which is kind of, we don't think it's going to happen at this point, but there's always a slight risk that as you get this far south of the cold front and that type of forcing, there could be some lightning, but it's a low risk of this.
So, I was going to say, Sean, do you want to walk us through some of the player impacts of the Houston game that we're seeing?
Yeah, let's just focus on the Texans and the Titans for right now.
Yeah.
So some people may be looking at Ryan Tannehill in this game against a really weak Texans front. Ryan Tannehill is being picked up in some DFS lineups. I am personally steering away from him. Mike and I were kind of talking about some of the stats for Ryan Tannehill in these games. And although it's only four games in rain, he's only posted a 78 QBR, 182 yards per game on average and only six TDs and five interceptions. So although we don't expect, you know, this juggernaut Titans defense, we do expect maybe some mistakes to be made by Tannehill in this game.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are going big, betting big on A.J. Brown in this one. And obviously, A.J. Brown can still produce if Tannehill is very limited. But if you take the upside away from your quarterback, it does remove a little bit of upside from your wide receiver, potentially, right?
Yeah, I mean, and A.J. Brown's going for $7,700 right now. Yeah, right? That's a pretty – that's you're up there with, like, CeeDee Lamb and Stephon Diggs, who I'm much higher on this week. And
Debo.
And we do have a very – yeah, exactly. Yeah, Debo as well. And we have a very limited sample with A.J. Brown, but he has played in two games with Tannehill in rain, and he's only caught 38% of his targets and only is averaging 24 yards per game and is sub 10 in yards per target or yards per reception. Sorry. So that's incredibly low compared to his career averages. So what that's telling us is, yeah, he still may be getting the targets, but the catch rate is down and what he's doing with those targets is more limited. So I would really limit expectations, especially in the second half for A.J. Brown in this one.
Yeah, you're gonna need to see these two kind of go off or gel in the first half to make you feel a little bit more comfortable when that rain moves.
So what about Marcus Johnson? Very low value. Do you think the same thing, Sean?
It's so hard because we have a limited sample. We saw some breakout potential from Marcus Johnson last week. He is going for $3,500 on DraftKings right now, which is an incredibly low and could be a value, quite frankly. But how this game is going to go and what that game flow is going to look like, he is still an outside receiver. So I still think he could get some targets and maybe give you a floor here, but I'm a little bit more hesitant. I do have him actually in our league, and I just lost Cooper. I just lost Cooper to the Dallas wide receiver, and now I have to plug somebody in, and I'm debating whether I want to put in Marcus Johnson in here, and I have initially, but I'm really second thinking it here. I think Chester Rogers is a slot in Tennessee, and my question is like, hey, is he maybe going to get a little bit more target volume here with Julio Jones out? So right now he's kind of a borderline in DFS because he is such a low, you know, his value is incredibly low, and he may provide a good floor for you, but I may be looking at other options.
Yeah, and speaking of injuries, I mean, I feel like there's a ton of them now piling up, especially when you get into the running back games. And, you know, if you look at the Houston Texans running back issue, right, the big loss was Derrick Henry early in the year, but now we're starting to see a new running back potentially take over the reins, right? Or maybe the lead dog, Deontay Foreman. You know, we have Josh McNichols. He is out for this game. That is more of the general pass-catching running back. And we saw Devontae Foreman, you know, catch he had 45 yards on a screen pass last week.
Yep.
So he's going to probably step into that role as well. And you think he's going to get more of those carries? Because from Adrian Peterson's
nailed it.
He looks pretty bad. He looks pretty washed up.
He does.
And so I think.
And my forecast with this is I really am. I'm actually starting Devonta Foreman in my DFS lineup. He's $4,900. And I think he could potentially be a smash play here. I think running game, they're going to rely on that. I think Foreman showed that he can carry that load. He got 13 touches for 78 yards. And yes, a lot was from that screen pass, but he showed he's more than a capable back. And I look at more Adrian Peterson as more of that change of pace back and maybe potentially getting some goal line. So he may siphon some of the opportunity from Foreman, but I think he has a really great opportunity of getting 15 to 20 touches in this one potentially. And really establishing himself and having a really safe floor, especially with that $4,900 price tag. So I'm more than happy to play him. I mean, like to your point, McNichols is out here, so there's not a lot of backs there for the Tennessee backfield to choose from. And so I think Foreman's one on the list.
It's so funny. I'm looking at our notes for the show, and I love it. Houston running backs. Nope.
It's been like horrible all year. I just want to do a nice shout out here to at Adam Koffler of Fantasy Pros. Last week I was on Twitter. This was in between, you know, changing baby diapers and trying to guzzle some coffee down. But I saw Adam Kaufer put out a tweet last week where they were specifically talking about Deontay Foreman and how he changed his jersey number and he changed up some of his look. He had the tinted visor on. He had the red sleeves out. This was during the pre-game warm-ups. And Kaufer's he was saying, hey, listen, like, this looks like a lead running back right now. He's starting to look the role here. There's some changing of the numbers. Keep an eye on him. As soon as I saw that, I went in through all of my fantasy leagues except for one. So I had 4 out of 5 leagues and picked him up before he, just in case, he went off. And I think that might have been a good move now, just looking at how he was like probably the top waiver wire target this past week for running backs for people who need him. So just wanted to shout out there to Kaufler. Yeah. Good job on that. And I'm glad to, to help.
Yeah, it's all about the visor. All about the visor.
That's it, man. It's all about the look.
If you feel good, you're going to play good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And I think he's a smash play. If you have him even in your hometown leagues, let alone DFS, I think he's even a potential flex play here. If you could fit him in, I think he's going to get the volume and the opportunity. And especially against the Houston Texans, who are just unfortunately struggling on defense in almost every facet of the game. So yeah, good play there.
Yeah. And Tennessee is a 10-point favorite in this one. So they should get the lead.
They're 13.
Oh, it went up? Okay, at the open, it was 10 points.
Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is 10 points, though. I'm thinking of the other game. Is there any last things we want to talk about before we get to our second game, guys?
Well, what about – people still struggle with this decision. We have Tyrod Taylor actually playing. Davis Mills is not going to be playing in this matchup. Brandon Cooks, okay? What are you doing with Cooks in this one? We are going to see some precipitation. Tyrod Taylor threw 3 interceptions last time out. How are we feeling? What's our temperature check on Cooks in this one?
I mean, in redraft leagues, I'm playing him. He's been productive. I mean, even with the tough game last week, he still managed about 9 points, half point PPR on 13 targets. So he is getting the lion's share of the looks and the volume in this. And I think if you're in a wide receiver, if you have a wide receiver flex, or if you're in a 14-person league like I'm in, and I have Cooks, I feel confident in playing him. I'm not personally searching him and trying to start him on DFS, but in redraft, when you need him, he should be a solid flyer.
I mean, he does have a $6,000 price tag. It's not exactly cheap. So, I mean, you are paying, I think, market value for Cooks based on expectations.
It is 10 points.
And the Titans' D has been really good.
Yeah. No, sorry, I was interrupting. Yeah, the Titans. Yeah, I don't think you play Cooks unless you have to, like you said, Mike. I wouldn't be looking for him in DFS for that much.
Yeah.
In DFS, you probably go into a better option, maybe pay up a little bit for like CeeDee Lamb or something. But in redraft, you feel confident playing him. He'll have a solid score.
And then RBs you're punting on then, right? For Houston?
Nope.
Do they even have a running back there? I don't even
Well, David Johnson, I think, is going to get the first crack at it. He's at 4,400, but I think you avoid if possible.
So you're right. Sorry. It opened at 10. It's still at 10. I was thinking of the second game that we're going to talk about of the 13 points.
What is the second game you're calling?
Yeah, let's move on. So we're going to go to the second game that we were talking about, and that's Detroit Lions at Cleveland Brown. The minus the actual Lions being almost garbage, but there's going to be some impacts here too, possibly. Biggest one, though, was Jared Goff is out. So, Boyle is playing. So they just...
Well, he's doubtful. Hold on. He is doubtful, so it's probably
out. I'm going to say he's out. Sorry. That's not – Adam Schefter didn't report it. You hear it first. Fantasy football weather, guys.
So who's starting in his place now?
Boyle, I think, right?
Yeah, Tim Boyle.
Boyle, yeah. I don't think you're excited about Goff either.
Yeah, no, we're not excited about Goff, especially weather. But do we have any statistics on Tim Boyle? I don't even know who he is, to be honest. Has he played?
We can do a little research here on Tim Boyle. He's a backup for a reason, right? So I don't expect him to come in and fill a role, especially against a Cleveland defense. Although they've been mixing up a little bit of late, but I don't think Tim Boyle is going to come up and light the world on fire here.
Tim Boyle.
Yeah, it seems like
he played 11 games as a backup with Green Bay. He has thrown 15 yards. And his total career.
So that was
total career.
That was in one game, his 15 yards. It looks like in Green Bay, all he did was essentially kneel on the
ball. Yeah, exactly. Oh, right. Like, yeah, mine is. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And, that's all he's done.
And who are you throwing the ball to in Cleveland, other than Swift and Hockenson in Detroit? I don't know who you're throwing the ball to anyway. So I think the only person worth talking about on the Detroit Lions side is DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift had 30-plus touches for 130 yards against the Steelers last week. And that just tells you, like, they know Jared Goff couldn't throw in the rain. That was very obvious. They really relied on the running game. I think – even though you're going against Cleveland, so people hear Cleveland like, oh, man, that's a really tough front. I don't know if I want to be playing my running back or maybe applying, like, you know, going after that in DFS. But they have really dropped the ball a little bit of late, Cleveland, they've given up an average 124 yards on the ground in their last three games. So I am confident in Swift. I know he's going to get the touches and going to get the volume. I may even play him in DFS because I know that volume is probably going to even be higher in this one.
See, I'm a little concerned about Swift just because I know Jamal Williams is coming back. He had a couple limited practices, and so he might start to eat in some of that hot volume for Swift. Though we know that Swift is a top tier running back, and he should still produce. It's just a little bit of a limitation there with Jamal Williams coming back.
Yeah, but I think the ratio between run and pass is going to be like 70-30 at least, like 70.
Yeah.
I think the running backs are going to get about 70% of the offensive production in this one.
Understood.
I will say yeah. Fantasy Pros is projecting 10-20% roster starting of Swift this week at the $7,000 rate. Because there's really no one else around that. Either you drop down into the 6,000s or you go up into the high 7,000s. He's kind of in a league of his own, right? Yeah.
His own tier.
So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It seems like everyone, there's common thinking, Sean, you might be on to something. So
yeah, he's I think going to be, based on his performance last week in the rain at Pittsburgh, I think people are going to maybe steer in his direction a little bit more. But then you bring up another point, like, oh, then you have to go into this next range. And in that next range is Nick Chubb at $7,800 for the Cleveland Browns here. You still have Kareem Hunt that is out. Dearness Johnson he is obviously a good option here as well, but you go Chubb. I am playing Chubb in this matchup. I don't have any trust in the hobbled Baker Mayfield and getting the ball to who, Austin Hooper or Jarvis Landry. This offense is going to run through Nick Chubb. Yeah. I'm all in on him this week.
Here's my start of the week. You know, Detroit has given up the third most points to opposing running backs this season, so they're just really bad at stopping the run. Cleveland's a 10-point favorite. The game script is set up for Nick Chubb to run. 13. It started at a 10-point. It's gone up to 13-point. That's probably with the news that Goff is out.
Yeah. 12-13.
So I mean, this is a Chubb game. It does hurt. You know, people who's been running with D'Ernest Johnson. It's a shame to see him. His value is going to be squashed by Chubb. It probably get a little bit. Probably run into that Kareem Hunt role a little bit there, but. To me, like I'm in my DFS lineups, I'm going with Chubb.
Yeah, especially in the rain where Baker Mayfield may not feel as comfortable. And he's just hobbled. He has so many injuries that he's dealing with, and he's a trooper. I'll give him that. But they just have really struggled in the passing game of late, and they've just been doing everything on the ground. And you know, Nick Chubb also is a really viable passing back as well. I think he'll get some targets in this one as well, and potential some big play opportunities. So he's the big play, I think, in this matchup.
There have been some analysts bringing up the wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones on the Cleveland Browns. Some people, it's a low price guy. It's a waiver wire streamer ad in this matchup. To me, with the rain risks, I'm a little concerned. I'm not going to go out and start him.
And he's a big play guy, right? Now, Baker Mayfield in four games has a QBR of 79, 202 yards per game, and four TDs and four interceptions in those four games. I don't see – is it not going to – I mean, we don't know. It could happen, but statistically speaking, I'm hedging on not a 60-yard bomb to Donovan Peoples-Jones in this one.
Yeah, if you're going to make a bet, that's the bet I would make, too. It's possible. These things can still happen, right? We've seen big plays in rain events, and this is light rain. So still that chance, but if you're going to hedge, I'm hedging the other way.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the last game, kind of insignificant, but significant for the Bills in the sense that they're only a half game behind Patriots or ahead of Patriots, which is crazy. But you guys want to talk about the Indianapolis Colts Buffalo Bills game?
Yeah, just really quick before we get in there, we didn't talk about this guy Hockenson, right? TJ Hockenson. With the new quarterback change, we're probably just not going to play him, right? Unless you're stuck with him in retreat.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have another option, I think you have to pivot. I mean, he had a bunch of targets last week, but I think he only had one catch in the Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was not good.
I mean, who knows who Tim Boyle is going to look to? I imagine it's going to be Hockenson, but I envision that they're going to struggle, limited opportunities. If you have other options, even like a Cole Kmet of the Bears, I think if you could get him, I'd be playing him over Hockenson. I hate to say that, but I think the floor is just way too low for Hockenson this week. Like Cole Kmet, you could get 5-6 targets. He's been getting those. I think he gives you a safer floor than Hockenson.
And Fields has been looking pretty good. So, all right, sorry, Colin. Let's go to this Colts and Buffalo Bills game.
That's great. I'm glad. You know, I should have asked and done my job to say, are you all set? Now I can move on and move the conversation on. Colts Bills at Buffalo. Sean.
Yeah. And this one's is that lighter rain event where it could be at the end of the game. Sean, are you worried at all about these players in this matchup?
We have to go with the data we're given right now, and the forecast is dictating. We've been looking at a lot of the high-res models, and it does not look like rain is going to move into the area until later in the second half. I think both of these teams have a lot of momentum right now, maybe even more Indianapolis than the Bills. I think this is going to be a great matchup and a great game. I just don't anticipate rain playing a big factor. Maybe in the fourth quarter, it may make things a little bit messy, but who are you not playing in this game due to some potential rain? Like you're playing Diggs, you're playing Josh Allen, some people are actually playing. I wouldn't mind playing. Well, actually, I may limit Wentz because the Bills defense, passing defense has been great. You're playing Jonathan Taylor, right? You're playing Pittman.
Yeah.
I have to come clean here. I was pretty low on Wentz earlier in this year. And I said he wasn't
not the only one.
And he put my foot in my mouth because he's been way better than I would expect, and I'm impressed. You know, Pittman seems to be a solid wide receiver one now.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton's back, so he's coming back from injury, so they have some options there. I've been impressed with Wentz, and I think a lot of that has to do with how well Jonathan Taylor's been playing. Because it's opening up things.
And I'm actually playing Stephon Diggs in my DFS lineup. I put him in. I think he's going to have a big game against this Indianapolis Colts secondary. So I'm high on him this week. And yeah, I mean, a lot of the big players you're just playing in this one. You're not really scared because of maybe some rain in the late in the second half.
Yeah, I am starting Josh Allen as always, as I do in my DFS leagues, because I just am a fanboy now. But I'm not playing a stack with Diggs or Sanders.
Austin Knox, baby.
I know. Every time I play Diggs does well. Every time I play Diggs, you know, it's either Beasley or someone else. But Diggs has been stepping back up over the last couple games too. So it's gonna be a great game. I can't wait for this game.
I think Allen's projected to get 4 touchdowns this game from Vegas. So, I mean, I actually went with quarterback. I changed my quarterback one, and I went with Josh Allen in this one for my DFS lineup as well, nice. Colin.
Ooh. So. I think I went with Aaron Rodgers. He's playing really well against the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm hoping he gets back on track here with Devontae Adams. But he was just a little bit lower. He was 7,000, so.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap up today?
No.
I think we covered it all. Just the one area of risk again for that.
You're gonna do my you're gonna do my rundown. Okay, go ahead, Mike. Welcome back, Mike.
No. Go ahead. I'm gonna take it all. Yep. It's all for me. The spotlight's back on me. Come on, man. I'm a new dad. So what's gonna come down to? No, I just wanted to reiterate the fact here for the Houston at Tennessee game. It's gonna be in the that rainfall, which is gonna be a period of heavy rain, is gonna come in the front of a cold front. There's a small chance for lightning, which could potentially put the game into a delay. We are not predicting that to happen, but if it does, it's a risk you have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing that I wanted to mention. Colin, go into a rundown.
That's it. That's the rundown. The one game we're really paying attention to is Houston at Tennessee. So, you know, follow us on FF Weather Guys on Twitter, where we'll have our live updates. And I interrupted Sean again, so go ahead, Sean.
No, just to kind of speak to that point, we will, and you just spoke to this too, Colin, but I was going to say that we will be updating the Houston Tennessee game if we do think there's going to be potential lightning for that game.
Next week is Turkey Day. We're going to have three games on Thursday. So, you know, we may have to do a show or, you know, we'll update if there's any weather events coming for the holiday season. But if you don't hear from us until next week, travel safe and have a great holiday, everyone.
Yeah. Yes.
And keep an eye open for Sean's blog about the weather this week. He'll be putting that out here shortly, and we'll be sharing that on socials.
All right. Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone.